The following episode of Epic Fail is brought to you by Spoke, a new free listening app from SiriusXM.
The following is an at-will presentation.
You want to hear my story about my epic fuck-up?
I really do.
All right, here it goes. When I first started on Broadway.
Nice shot.
And that time, I did get a black eye.
And he starts shaking, but one by one, the cast has to turn towards me.
And my character yells, strut in a circle. And I got the part.
Hi, everyone. We're back for another episode of Epic Fail, the podcast where we hear stories from performers about the time they failed on stage, on screen, and on set. Everyone knows that auditions can be the most nerve-wracking part of being an actor. And this week, we'll be hearing stories about just how horribly they can really go. Joining me this week, from Broadway's Wicked, Cary St. Louis, star of the TV show Full House, John Stamos. Two-time Tony nominee and currently starring in The Prince of Broadway, Brandon Uranowitz. From the Spring Awakening revival on Broadway, Katherine Gallagher. Star of Broadway's Wicked, Jackie Burns. One of my co-stars on Glee, Kevin McHale. Star of the upcoming Broadway musical SpongeBob SquarePants, Lily Cooper. Star of the ABC comedy Ugly Betty and currently starring in the play Torch Song, Michael Urie. From the Blue Man Group, Greg Balla. First up this week, we have Cary St. Louis to tell us a fail story that ended up not being such a failure at all.
So when I auditioned for Rock of Ages, I was so great. I was an opera major in college. I was a music major, not a theater person. I mean, I did theater, but anyways, let me read my resume to you.
Training.
Here's my training. Here are my special skills. So I went in for Rock of Ages. I'd never seen it. I was like, not... I'm a mover, not a dancer. And I didn't really understand that it's like, you know, she becomes like a stripper. LOL. And I was sort of just like in this audition and like I got called back for the dance call. And so I walk into the dance call at the Hollywood Methodist Church.
What?
Where every stripper should have a dance call.
For sure.
Broadway stripper.
Yeah.
And I walk in and there's like 25 girls and they're wearing cutoff shorts and bra tops and like heeled boots, and I was wearing a black dress and character heels and knee pads. I was wearing knee pads because it said bring knee pads, so I like had some from
and you
know.
Wore them.
I wore them with this black dress and character heels, and I was like, oh, I'm in the wrong place, like this is not for me. But then I was like, I'm gonna stay, I'm gonna do it. Because otherwise, I'm never going to be able to do this business if I can't make it through a Hollywood Methodist Church dance call. And we got up, and the combo was like, you know, triple pirouette and like rolling, like try to look sexy, which is not really my MO. And at the very end, there was this leap, and I just didn't really know. I couldn't do it. I still couldn't tell you what it was. Like, who knows what. It was some dance move. And the choreographer, Kelly Devine, called me up in front of everybody.
No.
And she was like, I don't give a fuck if you can't do that. Do something and make it work. And then starting from the top. And I was like... okay. And meanwhile, now I'm choreographing something. So I was like, oh my God, like this is even worse. Like, what am I going to do? And I had no time to think. And we got to that point and everyone else did the leap. And I just strutted in a circle with this smile, like $1 million smile. Just like, this is the coolest shit you're going to see all day. With my knee pads and my character heels, strutting in a circle. And I got the part. So, like, I sort of just feel like the fuck up was worth it. Like, now I'm like, I should probably fuck up more in auditions, honestly.
That is the one. I really fucked
it's
up
the
in my
one.
Audition in that, like.
That is that what, yeah.
I walked out going, I'm not getting that.
Yeah. The choreographer, you know, that was my Broadway debut. And she was like, I will never forget. I'll never forget calling you up. And you looked terrified. And then, and when I finished, she just winked at me and smiled. And I was like, okay.
That's
I
awesome.
Strutted in a circle for you. You're welcome, Broadway choreographer. Like, let me know if you need an assistant choreographer in the future.
John Stamos has plenty of funny audition experiences in his career, like this one from the time he auditioned for the 80s soap opera General Hospital.
My first big audition was for General Hospital, and I was just 18. The character was sort of it was written as like a street, a New York kid, and I didn't know anything from New York. I lived in Orange County. I'd never been to New York, you know. thought that I needed to sort of get that feeling. So I remember I put on like these ripped jeans, and I borrowed like a leather jacket from my mother or something. And you know, and I thought I gotta get my walk down. I gotta feel like I'm in New York. So I went to Santa Monica Boulevard and walked up and down. I remember I bought a yellow bandana and put it in my back pocket. Now, you know, Santa Monica Boulevard is a very great area, but it's also sort of boys' town, you know, and so I was working on my walk for that, and I sort of had it down, and I went into the audition, and I told them the story, and they were all kind of laughing at me, and they, you know, they kind of pointed out that the yellow bandana meant that you'd like to be peed on, and so that was sort of an embarrassing experience. But then I got the role, and everyone kissed my Greek ass after.
Next up, Brandon Uranowitz shares his most epic audition fail from his early days as an actor.
Pre, like, success on paper.
Yeah.
During the struggling times, when you get an audition for, like, Joe Mantello, you go.
Big director.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Directed Wicked. So they were auditioning for this Pasek and Paul show, Dogfight.
Mm-hmm.
They wrote Dear Evan Hansen. Mm-hmm. They're also like Oscar nominated this year for La La Land.
They won Golden Globe. They're amazing.
They're amazing. So they were auditioning this thing called Dogfight. And there was like, because it's the only thing I ever go in for, there was a Jew in the show. And so like, obviously it's like, let's get Brandon Uranowitz in here. Now, here's the thing. I'm not a disgusting person. I'm not a slutty person. But... I, like, sometimes get cold sores, okay? And I've gotten them since I was, like, 7.
Okay.
So don't tell me that I have herpes. I've had it since I was 7. I get them when I get stressed out. So, like, the night before my Dogfight audition, I was, like, really nervous about it because at that point in your career, you're like, this could be my big break. You know, like, I have to go in and prove to Joe Mantello that I am
what I think
amazing.
I am, right?
So I got like a little, it looked like a zit above my lip.
Yeah.
And stupidly, I tried to pop it the night before. I woke up the next morning and it was, honestly, Jenna, I don't know if I have the picture on my phone. The cold sore, because I tried to pop it and it like got irritated, I think, was literally the size of this microphone head, like on my face. So much so that, like, after the audition, I had, like, told one of my best friends, Molly, I was like, I need you to come meet me. I'm horrified about everything in my life right now, and I have this giant cold sore on my face. And she's like, I bet it's not that bad. I met her at a Starbucks, and she was sitting in the window. And the look on her face, I honestly don't know how to describe it, because it was just, like, pure, unadulterated shock. Like, she was really honestly expecting it to be like, okay, you're being dramatic.
Yeah, you're being crazy.
But she could not help. She couldn't even pretend, like, as my best, she couldn't even pretend that it was
not bad.
So I woke up that morning. I had this audition, and I'm freaking out at this point because I'm like, I can't go in with this. Like, there's no way. So I called my agent, and I'm like, guys, don't drop me. Don't think I'm disgusting. But I have a giant cold sore on my face. And, like, when I say giant, I mean, like, fucking giant. I can't audition for Joe Mantello today. Like, I can't do it. And they're like, okay, well, let's call. They, like, called casting and saw to try and see if, like, maybe they could reschedule and get me in another time. They couldn't. This was, like, their only day that they were seeing people, which I'm pretty sure is bullshit.
A lie. That's a lie.
That's a lie. They're like, they know what's happening. I let them know. They said, don't worry about it. It's totally fine. They just want to see you do your thing. They know you're amazing. Just go in and do it. And, like, gave me this, like, manipulative bullshit about how I should go in when I, like, really shouldn't have gone in. And I was, like, young and impressionable and desperate. And I was, like, okay. And I went in. And I'm sitting and I'm trying to think of what I should sing, because they wanted like a contemporary musical theater, not Pasek and Paul, kind of poppy feel. And I'm sitting, I don't remember what my first choice was, like what immediately came to my head, but I'm sitting in the waiting room. My insecurity is like at a full 10. And I'm starting to like make really bad irrational decisions.
Okay.
Hence why I should never have gone in the first place.
Right.
I was like, oh, I have a brilliant idea. I can go in and I can use it.
Oh my God.
You know what? Let's just acknowledge the pink elephant in the room. Let's like embrace it and laugh about it, right? That's a great fucking idea. So I was like, you know what? I can make this work. I have a song from Next to Normal I can sing. The first line goes, can you tell me what it is you're afraid of? Can you tell me why I'm afraid it's me? Can you touch you? And I was like, oh, perfect. So I go in. They open the door. And I'm like, hi, Craig. Hi, I'm so sorry. Like immediately just like acknowledge it. And like, he's like not making eye contact with me, obviously. He's looking directly at my fucking lip.
Yeah.
And like Joe Mantello's like there. He comes up and he shakes my hand and like everything's fine. And I'm like, okay, ready? And I nod at the piano player and I do, can you tell me what it is you're afraid of? Can you tell me why I'm afraid it's me? And when I say why I'm afraid it's me, I point directly at my lip to be like, you're afraid of me because I'm disgusting, right? Because I have this thing. Dead silence. Dead silence. Not a single, like, smile. Not a crack. Nothing. Wasn't asked to do the sides. Wasn't asked to do another song. Just thank you so much. Thanks for coming in today.
You pointed to it.
Can you tell me why I'm afraid it's me? Right, you guys?
Right?
Right? Because I have herpes.
In this next story, Catherine Gallagher tells us about the time she handled an audition fail in a very unique way.
I had been on tour. I was opening up for the Bacon Brothers for like a couple weeks, and my voice was feeling weird. And it wasn't like, this is a thing that I've learned. What I thought laryngitis was like, you really don't have a voice. When my case was, I had been on tour and my voice was being weird. I like didn't really know how to manage it, but it was fine. Like it was really hit or miss.
Yeah.
And so my agents were like, hey, they really want to see you for Elphaba. And I was like, hey, not the best week. They were like, no, they really want to see you. And I I'm an idiot. I'm like, I can do anything.
Yeah.
And like, I've sung the songs before. I was like, I have the notes. I can do it.
Totally.
And so, but I call them that morning and I'm like, I really don't think this is the day. And they're like, you'll be great. And I was like, okay, it'll be fine. Such an idiot. And so I like go into the audition and I'm like, we're singing Defying Gravity, mm-hmm. the one, The Wizard and Eyes. And then.
No Good Deed, maybe?
It wasn't No Good Deed. It was the love song.
As long as you're mine?
Yeah. It was those three.
Like,
the hardest fucking songs to ever sing. Am I allowed to curse?
Yep. Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Great, great. And I was like, so we do the scenes and then we get to like The Wizard and I. It was like, The Wizard and my voice just stops. It's just like. Doesn't come out. And I didn't know what to do because I was like, well, I'm not booking it. I knew that much. And so I just went, I'm going to go. And I just left. I was like,
you left?
I left. I was like, I think this isn't for me.
Next up, we hear Jackie Burns' opinion on which are worse, bad auditions or bad performances.
I don't know what's worse, though, bad auditions or bad performances.
Oh, that's a good one because that's a really good one. Auditions might be worse because, A, you just lost out on a job that's going to pay you, and, B, you can't do it again, where if you have, like, a bad performance, you're like, all right, well, I can do it again tomorrow or that night if it's a matinee. You make a good point. Also, I think what's worse if you have a bad closing show because then you can't do it again the next day. And I think that's why closing show is so stressful because you're like, every number, you're like, well, that's the last time I did that. Could have done that better, but I don't have another opportunity.
That's
Do you know what I mean?
Terrifying.
I hate every final show, last show I hate because I'm like, I don't have another opportunity to do it better.
I don't even think I was thinking about that in my last show.
That's because
show,
you're smart.
No, I just think I was so, like, I get emotional when I leave shows, so I was just like, don't cry. I was at the point where I was like, just get through the song so you don't cry.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't an appropriate time for your character to be crying, so like, don't cry.
I wanted to take a few moments to tell you about Spoke, a new listening app from SiriusXM and a partner of Epic Fail. Spoke is more than just a podcast app. It's a social audio platform. You can listen to podcasts, radio programs, documentaries, and more. Have you ever had a difficult time finding a podcast? Well, Spoke has a team of curators, real live humans, not robots, who help you discover your new favorite podcast or show by finding the best moments and highlights and organizing them into thematic playlists. For me, there are so many podcasts that I want to listen to, but it's so overwhelming to start listening to each of them because I have no idea what I'm going to like or what's good. So this is like a friend sharing their playlist with you, allowing you to listen to the best clips from each song. If you like what you hear, you can join the conversation and leave a voice comment. You can also share anything you find on the app with friends or on social media. That's right, hit me on the gram. You can download Spoke from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Go to hearspoke.com/atwill to support Epic Fail or your favorite shows on the At Will Network. Kevin McHale is one of my closest friends, and I could not believe he'd been holding this next story from me until now.
So here's what happened. I get a call from my manager saying, I know you've never done theater, but I have an audition for you for this play. It's supposed to be good. Like, there's great people working on it. This could be really fun for you, even though you don't have an interest in doing theater. And I, besides, like, local theater when I was, like, 6 years old, I had zero interest in doing theater. And it was, I guess, late 2006, early 2007. Mm. And I was distracted. I was in a boy band at the time.
NLD.
And the show was called Spring Awakening.
I don't know this story, by the way.
I have hid this from you.
I'm getting bamboozled right now.
Because I am so embarrassed about this.
What?
Because obviously, like, I got on Glee with all you Spring Awakening people. And I was like, I can never tell anybody this because this was the most embarrassing moment of my entire life.
I'm feeling very bamboozled at the moment.
I think I like drunkenly mentioned it to you once.
Okay, well, I don't
but
remember
I definitely
that.
Did not tell you the details.
Okay.
And since I obviously like I can't get away from any of I'm friends with your Spring Awakening friends, like
right?
It is now such a big part of my life.
Yeah.
That my like biggest secret is that I ruined my audition for Spring Awakening.
I didn't know you went in for this. You are bamboozling me right now. Okay, keep going.
So,
wow.
I go and I buy the play. I read it, and it's like, I'm like, I don't know. I don't understand any of this.
Read again.
Very hard for me. Anyway, I read the entire thing, which doesn't even help me because I'm like, I don't know how to audition for theater. They're like, you're going to sing a song. You can.
Were you in L.A.? Like, did you just put it on tape?
I was in L.A. No, and they were seeing people in person in L.A. And I'm feeling very unprepared. They're like, pick a song you have to sing. And I hated singing auditions in the first place because when I have terrible nerves and you're nervous and your voice just sounds crazy and can tighten up and get shaky and it's awful.
Don't we all?
Yeah. And then I had to memorize these lines and I was like, this is like weird old English. I don't understand. There's like some German or something in it. Yep. I didn't get it.
Yeah.
I show up and I'm sitting in the waiting room and there was like one other person before me. They bring me in. It's in. There were like four old white people, very intimidating, like very serious theater people.
Mm-hmm.
I go in, there's a guy at a piano, and I'm like, oh, I've already screwed up. I'm like, why is there a piano here?
No!
They're like, do you have sheet music? And I was like, I was just going to sing something a cappella.
Oh.
They're like, okay. That was like strike one for them.
Sure.
I could see the life leave their eyes. Like, what are you going to sing? I did exactly what you're not supposed to do, Jenna.
What did you do?
What is the worst song you could possibly sing in an audition?
Happy Birthday?
No, I sang Bohemian Rhapsody.
No! Kevin.
Like, let me just choose the hardest song ever.
You did not choose Bohemian Rhapsody. You read the play. Did you think that song was appropriate for
I was just trying to, like, show my voice. I didn't know what was appropriate for the show. I didn't know what type of music they were going to do. I had no idea.
How do I not know this?
I was like 18 at the time. Like I had no clue what I was doing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. I'm
okay,
sweating.
So you sang Bohemian Rhapsody. How did it go?
Not well.
Not well.
So
did you sing the whole thing? Did you sing a cut?
No, I was waiting. I just stopped at some point, and they look at me and they're like, do you have anything else?
Oh, my God.
Do you have anything we can do with piano? Do you know some songs that the pianist might know? And the pianist is like, starts naming songs. I'm like, I don't know any of those songs. Mm-hmm. Like, they're probably theater songs. I'm like, well, I know some Beatles stuff. And they're like, okay. And he starts naming Beatles songs, and I realize that I really didn't know that many Beatles songs. And so we sort of, like, strung together a couple lines of some song. I don't even remember what it was. But obviously it was not good because I was just, like, freaking out. And then they asked me to do Bohemian Rhapsody again with the pianist to, like, try it out.
They clearly were somehow interested, though, even though you, as badly as you said it went, because they keep asking you to do things.
Well, see, in my head, that's not how I was looking at it. I was like, oh, my God, they're just screwing with me now because I can't do anything, and I'm so unprepared that they're just like, this kid is clueless. Like, why is he here? Like, okay, let's do the scene now. It was like that.
It's okay.
And then Spring Awakening came out.
And you were like, oh.
And did so well. And, like, all my friends were talking about it because it was, like, about teens and people our age, and it was cool. And I probably normally would have loved it but blocked it out because I was
I can't
so
believe
horrified.
That I didn't know about this. Next, Lily Cooper shares a hilarious story from her father's acting career.
I have one great audition story that is my father's story that I think is so funny because it was when he was getting started in his career. And, you know, it's sort of like when you don't really have much to put on your resume, it's I think actors are sort of infamous for stretching the truth a bit.
Sure.
And so my dad went in for, I believe it was Starlight Express, which is like a roller skating musical.
Yes.
And his agent asked him, can you roller skate? And he was like, yeah, I got this. And so he showed up to the audition and they made him put on roller skates and sing the song. And so he it's so stupid. It's such a great image. He put on roller skates, was singing his song in front of, you know, the table of people that are auditioning him, slowly rolling toward them, and he doesn't know how to stop because he's never roller skated in his life, I guess. So as he's singing his song, he slowly skates into the table and knocks into the table, meaning he's like 12 inches away from these people's faces, and he finishes his song like touching the table because he told a little white lie that he could in fact roller skate when he couldn't.
I did Xanadu. I went in for Final Callbacks for Xanadu, and they made us put roller skates on. I mean, like, I can roller skate in, like, a rink with, like, a lot
sure,
of space.
Yeah. And, like, fall a lot
walls,
of times.
You know?
Yeah, exactly.
They put us on a stage.
Wow.
And we're like, here, try this trick. And then all of a sudden you hear, like, boom. And, like, somebody behind you would go down. And then you'd be laughing and look back and then go, like,
yeah.
Bad auditions can be deflating for an actor's ego, especially when you have an experience like this one shared by Michael Urie.
So this particular audition, I was going to audition for a Shakespeare company. I won't say who. But I was first, and it was we were running late because a national tour of Cats was rehearsing in our room. And I could tell that was happening. I could see the woman who I was auditioning for and the casting person, and everybody was a little bit impatient. And we were late, you know. And so they got the cats out. They fumigated or whatever. And they got the cats out. And then they brought me in. And I was to come in and do my monologue. And before I started, I was like, so we got all the cats out, right? You know, like I made a joke.
Yeah.
I thought this would be charming and funny.
Totally.
Well.
Bless you.
I'm allergic to cats. Excuse me. Well, no one laughed. The woman sort of like gave me one of those like smiles. Mm-hmm. And the casting director, I looked at the casting director and she looked kind of like afraid. And so I did my monologue and I felt weird because like it was just weird. The energy was already weird.
Right.
And when I finished, she goes, I'm just not feeling it.
No.
She said, I'm just not feeling it. This isn't like an indie movie director who like knows like a sliver of what it means to be an actor,
right?
And thinks that saying I'm just not feeling it will like mean something to the actor.
Right.
It's somebody who should know that to tell an actor that you're just not feeling it is one, not useful, and two, extremely painful to hear. I mean, how do you...
It's not even like you have the job and you tried this monologue a different way and you're like, I'm just not feeling that. That didn't really work. Doesn't work for the piece. It's like yeah. you're in an audition.
I'm giving you a monologue of my choosing from Shakespeare. Oh, no. And you're saying you're just not feeling it. And then I think she went on and was gave me a few other directions that may have been more playable, but I wasn't paying attention because I was still thinking about
how she
didn't laugh at my cat's joke and she's not feeling it.
You just hear that in your brain for the rest of the day. I'm not feeling
yeah.
it.
Yeah. So she had me do it again. I mean, at least it wasn't just I'm not feeling it. Thank you
so much.
I mean, right. if it had been that, honestly, if it had been that, I probably wouldn't remember it because yeah. I would have been like, what a jerk.
Right.
Forget that.
Right.
But then she made me do it again. And when I was finished, she goes, see what I mean? And then she turned to the casting director and said, that's all I need to see. And I looked at the casting director and she looked so sorry for
right,
me.
And right.
she was like, thanks. And I left and didn't get it.
You didn't. Oh, my God.
I didn't get
you
that job.
You didn't get it.
I didn't get that job.
Oh, my God.
But it was like, first you hurt me by saying you're not feeling it. And right. then you insult me. She was right. adding insult to injury.
Yes.
I mean, that was like, you hurt me by saying something so mean. And then you're
pouring like alcohol yeah. right in an
you
open,
didn't
bleeding
have wound. The respect to thank me for my time.
Right.
Which is like, oh. you know, which can be the which is like the least, right? The least.
That's the least. It's the least.
I put in all the work and all the time and I came in here and I'm the only one in the room not getting paid and you can't even say thank you?
I know. I went in the other day and it was like the coldest room ever and it was like a pretty fun musical, pretty like lackadaisical, easygoing.
Yeah.
Funny character. I thought I was funny. I don't even think I'm funny. And I thought I was funny. And nobody laughed once. Not once. I didn't get a giggle. I didn't even get like a breath. I got nothing. They did thank me, though. I did get a thank you very much. Nice to meet you.
How does that?
It's brutal. Cold.
Well, and I get, you know, I understand. Like, they see person after person after person after person. And eventually they don't really, they stop thinking that it's a human.
But you were the first one.
But I was first.
After the cats. Closing us out this week is a story from Greg Bala about a bizarre experience he had auditioning for the Blue Man Group.
The audition process is what I would call brief and bizarre, the first one. I remember I did it at Telsey, and I was here in New York. And I actually worked for Blue Man as a crew member before I was a performer. In college, I was studying tech theater and while also studying acting. And so I started there as a flyjack, pulling ropes for them, and also as a lighting guy. I did electrics. And I basically watched the show my first year from the fly loft. So I would watch it, and I was fascinated. I was 19 years old, and I was like, this is so cool. I'm in this off-Broadway show. It's all historical, and I'm looking out over the Blue Men, and I can see the paint and everything in it. So I got a real love for the show there. Finally, well, towards the end of my college career, auditioned. And the first audition is simply, you walk in a room, and there's two people behind the table, and they're like, okay, we're going to give you a little acting exercise. We're going to do a little scenario, but you can't speak. So the scenario is you're a gunslinger in the Wild West, and you walk into this bar, and you sit down, you order a whiskey, and then through the saloon doors walks your rival, your arch nemesis, but you forgot to load your six shooter. Okay, go. And you're like, I'm sorry, what? No talking. So you have they're trying to see if they can.
If you can
communicate with right. just your face, with your eyes, because it is the Blue Men don't speak, so it's clown work, really. Mm. So they're like, oh, so you know, I stood there and I just was like, with my eyes, which, and they're like, okay, great, okay, now here's another one. Okay, you're on the playground, and you know you're in the third grade, and the fourth grade bully comes over and he's picking on you, and you're really upset. But then all of a sudden your sister comes by and she's a sixth grader. Okay, go. And you're like, so I did something, or I was like, okay. And they were like, great, can you come back tomorrow? And I was like, sure. And then you go back and you do a preliminary music called audition just to see where you're at drumming wise. And I didn't play the drums. I learned on the couch in the fly loft. That's how I learned how to play the drums for Blue Man.
Wow.
I would just grab sticks and try to play along with the show. I was awful when I started, but practiced a lot and then learned how to play. And so you go in for a music audition, and they play a pattern, you play it back. Afterwards, they accept you into training. Now, training, once you get hired into training, means you have 6 weeks of learning the show. You learn the character, you learn the skills required, the catching, all the music that you play. And at any time, you can get cut at the end of every week. You have a performance review, see how you're doing. And so getting back to the catching. Catching is a skill that we learn on day two. It's like the very first skill that you learn.
And that was me.
Yeah. So the first day is spent like catching gumballs in your mouth or water balls, really. They're just water balloons to practice. And, you know, it's a mess. So we're getting hit in the face. We're dropping things. Nobody knows what they're doing. They're uncoordinated. But then we switch to the marshmallows, which are, spoiler alert, cream cheese. And I'll never forget my trainer there, whose name I won't mention, but he knows who he is. I catch maybe 3 or 4 in my mouth, and I'm starting to, you know, my gag reflex. I'm like, and he's like, you got to catch more than that, boy. You got to catch more than that. And he's gagging me on just because, you know, it's kind of like a bit of a boys club there.
Pause. You have to catch them in your mouth and then hold them in your mouth and catch more?
Correct. So the illusion is that you're catching dozens of marshmallows. It's amazing to watch. If you don't see that, it's incredible piece. It's still, I think, the strongest piece in the show. And it's fascinating. When it goes well, it's amazing. They're literally catching balls and cheese from, you know, 20 feet away across a giant stage. And with the marshmallows, it happens one after the other. And they start to get faster and faster. So it's like, boom, 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 boom. And you just have to catch. And normally, now it's very easy for me to do this. It's a great skill at parties, but it doesn't really translate anywhere else in life. But so I'm getting, you know, one after the other. But so we're in the training room. This is like day two. I catch 3 or 4 pieces of marshmallows, and I'm like, oh. And he's like, nope, more. And he's throwing them at me, and they're bouncing off my face. And I catch maybe 10 or 12. And finally, I'm just like, oh. And I cough up this giant hunk of cream cheese, which just goes like, and just sticks right on the floor. And I'm standing there, all like hands over the knees, kind of spitting and drooling and tearing. And he's like, good.
That's it for episode 4. Be sure to subscribe to this podcast so you never miss an episode. And don't forget to follow at Will Radio and at Jenna Ushkowitz to stay updated with all the latest. I also want to hear your favorite fail from each one of my episodes. So go to my Twitter page to cast your vote now, and the winners will be featured in the final episode we're calling the Epic Fail Awards, chosen by you, the listeners. Next week on Epic Fail.
His eyes were like, what are you doing?
He was like, keep it together. And I was like, I can't. Thanks again to our partner, Spoke, SiriusXM's new app that allows you to listen to podcasts, radio programs, and documentaries curated for you. Go to hearspoke.com/@will now.